We return now to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, and continue a short series on human personality. We're thinking about personality. And last week, as we thought about personality and spirituality together, we thought about the kind of people who are open, the kind of people who are adventurous, as opposed to those who are conservative. And those are cautious. And we saw that personality is something that's pretty much fixed. And some people by nature are always looking for new things, and some people by nature very much want to stay within the things that they already know. And we saw there's nothing wrong about one way or another. And we're thinking about five different character traits. So last week it was openness, and this week it's conscientiousness. Remember, these five things are going to be represented by the word ocean. So O for openness, C for conscientiousness. It's a big word. People who are organized, people who are efficient, people who are disciplined, dutiful, who fulfill the demands and expectations laid upon them, they're conscientious. As opposed to people who are what you might call careless, they're disorderly, they're easygoing. So as we did last week, let's just ask a little questionnaire about ourselves, just so we identify what kind of people we are. So, are you conscientious? Are you neat? Do you enjoy tidying up? Are you punctual? Are you orderly? Are you systematic? Are you exacting in your standards? Are you always well prepared? Are you attentive to detail? Are you prompt in doing your chores? Are you someone who likes following plans and schedules? Do you have a good work ethic? Or are the areas that you're responsible for untidy? Are things not put away? Are you someone who procrastinates, who wastes time, who finds getting down to things hard, who shirks duties if you can, who finds it difficult to plan ahead, but prefers spontaneity? Are you someone who's often late? Two very different kinds of personality. And there's some of you here in one camp and some of you here in the other and some of you somewhere in between. And of course, it does vary a bit throughout life. Teenagers tend to be less conscientious. We tend to become more conscientious when we're in the workplace and when we're people at work in our working lives. And then later on in life, we tend to become less conscientious again. But it's something that's built in. It's not something you can just flick a switch with. If you're not a conscientious person today, you can't just say, I'm going to listen to Roddy today and I'm going to be that tomorrow. You can't just do that. But of course, it can lead to all kinds of stresses. I'm just thinking, for example, of those students going back to college, university, find themselves in a flat. Conscientious student in a flat of untidy fellow students, recipe for pain and disaster. Conscientious husband with an untidy wife, recipe for trouble. Conscientious parent who insists on tidying the bedroom of the unconscientious teenager. Stress. So is it good to be conscientious? Well, apparently it is. Apparently if you're conscientious, you'll live longer. You'll get a better job, better job satisfaction. You'll do better at school. You'll be happier and you'll have better relationships, apparently. A lot of research is done on these things. So conscientious people are in demand. In the Free Press the other day, the local firm Hunter Davies had an ad for a marketing and social media role. And this is what they say: you should have strong verbal and written communication skills, be a self-starter, well organised, and have an obsession for detail. So don't apply if you're not conscientious. It's a waste of time. You need to be conscientious, and employers are looking for conscientious people. But there are pitfalls. Conscientious people are prone to workaholism. They're prone to stress. Prone to compulsive behaviour. They're prone to perfectionism. Perfectionism means you're trying to keep very high standards, and when you can't keep those standards, that may lead you to become depressed. It's not all good. On the other hand, you might say, well, the answer is to be easygoing. Well, of course, if you're easygoing, you're inefficient, you're always losing things, procrastinating, and quite possibly smelly. So, as with openness and being conservative, that we looked at last week, there are positives and negatives about this aspect of personality. Conscientiousness or easygoingness. Now, if you were a conscientious and conservative Jewish man in Jesus' day, there's every likelihood that you would have ended up a Pharisee. So in Mark chapter 7, we read about these Pharisees. Verse 1, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered round Jesus, and they saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees were the conscientious, the ultra-conscientious ones. They were the ones with an eye for detail, an eye for duty, an eye for order. They had a neat and a tidy system of religion which appealed very much to conscientious people. So one day, the Pharisees met up with Jesus and his disciples, and the disciples got on the Pharisees' nerves. They saw the disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that were unwashed. Believe me, the Pharisees and Jesus' disciples would not have made good flatmates. The Pharisees were all about washing. It was just one of the really big things in their religion. And Mark explains that. Remember, Mark is writing to a Gentile audience, so he explains a lot of things about the Jewish religion and practice. In verse 3 and 4, he says the Pharisees don't eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. And there's all kinds of washing things connected with cups and pitchers and kettles and so on. Don't think there we're talking about hygiene, because that's not what it's about. It's not about washing so the cup's clean. It's not about washing so you get grime off your hands. It's about religious washing. It's about washing so you're ceremonially clean. It's about washing so that you're clean so you can go to the temple. That's the kind of washing that the Pharisees were concerned about. And they believed that you were always in danger of becoming contaminated and unclean. And you always had to go through washing rituals in all kinds of situations. For example, the Pharisees believed that any fluid that came out of the human body, spit or blood or use your imagination, any fluid at all made you unclean. If you came into contact with someone else's fluid, women were unclean after they'd given birth to a child or during their monthly period. Corpses were unclean. Carrion was unclean. Anything that was creeping, any insect, was unclean. Idols, of course, were unclean. Lepers were unclean. Samaritans were unclean. Gentiles were unclean. And the list went on and on. So Jesus was unclean because he touched lepers and he touched corpses before he raised them from the dead, and so on. So uncleanness was everywhere if you were a Pharisee. And you had to watch you didn't get contaminated. And if you did, you had to do this washing ritual. And it was all the more elaborate depending on how serious the contamination was. That's conscientious. Where did they get this from? Well, they got it from the Old Testament, didn't they? Well, no, they didn't. Actually, they didn't. I'm not going to go into detail on this, but you can't find all this in the Old Testament. All the Pharisees' rituals of washing, they made them up themselves. They made up their rules and regulations about washing and everything else. You know what? They were very pleased with themselves about it. They were very righteous in their own eyes because they were so conscientious. They were so careful. They were so clean. And they couldn't help but think that God must be pleased with them too, because they were such careful people, so concerned with washing, so concerned with purity. And they couldn't help thinking as well that they were better than other people, and that other people weren't up to scratch, because they weren't so concerned about purity and washing, like the disciples and Jesus, for example. They weren't up to scratch. That's serious, isn't it? To imagine that God is pleased with you, to imagine that God is pleased because you've got a really strict religious pattern of life, and you've got lots of self-imposed traditions and rules about how to be a good person in God's sight. To imagine that just because your sock drawer is neat and tidy, God's pleased. And at the same time to reject Jesus because his disciples don't fit your rules. Because his disciples are, in the eyes of the Pharisees, an untidy lot who leave, as it were, their socks lying around. They're not conscientious. They don't wash when they should wash. It's a serious matter in the Pharisees' eyes, but actually the seriousness of it is that they think that's what matters. And because they think that's what matters, they reject Jesus and salvation. So what we actually see in the story here is that there's a real danger in being a conscientious person. Just like last week we saw the danger of being someone who's open can lead you to try out all sorts of things that sin against God, that cause you to sin against God. In the same way, to be conscientious means that you might well easily substitute your standards, your scrupulousness, your care, your diligence, your order, your work ethic, for the commands of God. But instead of following God's rules, you put your rules in place, and you think that your rules and keeping your rules make you good before God. And you fail to see that your rules are not God's rules, just like the Pharisees' rules were not God's rules. And you pin your confidence on your conscientiousness and not on Jesus Christ. That's what the Pharisees did. And it certainly was not a trivial matter. Jesus exposes it in verses 6 to 8. He calls them hypocrites. He says their worship is in vain. That means they're wasting their time being Pharisees. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Their hearts are far from God, verse 6. They've let go, verse 8, of the commands of God. They're holding the traditions of men. All because they're conscientious. They're very careful, very ordered, very structured, very systematic in their religion. They've got all these rules, very dutiful, but they're stone dead spiritually. They reject Jesus just because his disciples don't wash in the ritual way before they eat their food. They reject Jesus. You're not all conscientious people, though. Some of you are more on the kind of easygoing side of things. And you're just thinking to yourself, I'm glad I'm not a Pharisee. And you're thinking to yourself, these Pharisees, they really need to chill out. They need to relax. They're far too intense. They just need to take it easy, you know, moderation in all things. And you're, by nature, the opposite to the Pharisees. And you're very pleased that you are. Very happy that you're not like the Pharisees. This is a personality trait thing, remember. It's because of your personality that you're easygoing and not a Pharisee. A conscientious person that puts their trust in your own duties. And instead, you put your trust in the fact that actually, you're not like the Pharisees. You're much more easygoing. If only everyone was like you, the world would be a much easier place to live in. Wouldn't have all these fundamentalists and all these religious extremists. And it's very easy for people who are not conscientious, who are very easygoing by nature, to be easygoing about their own faults and see instead the faults of everyone else. It's much easier if you're an easygoing person to focus on the faults of others, isn't it? You don't want to focus on your own faults because you'd have to actually put some effort towards sorting them out. And that doesn't suit an easygoing person. So you just focus on others and say, I'm really glad I'm not a Pharisee. So glad I'm not hung up about all these things that the Pharisees are hung up about. Fact is, though, that you too reject Jesus. If that's what you put your trust in, that you're a nice, easygoing person, and you're not like those Pharisees, you're not like those unchilled and uber serious people, and you put your trust in that. But you know what? It's not our personality that should determine how we stand before God or what we think is important. If you're carefree and easygoing, or on the other hand, conscientious and diligent, you shouldn't let that determine how you do religion or how you do Christianity. What you must do is listen to Jesus and take him seriously. And the bit that we can really focus on just as we close is from verse 17 to verse 23. This is what Jesus wants you and me to take seriously. First of all, he had some time with the disciples on their own, and they asked him about clean and unclean, and Jesus says, don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? It doesn't go into his heart, into his stomach, and then out of his body. You know, it doesn't really matter whether you've ritually washed your hands or not before you eat, says Jesus. All that is just man-made rules. And it doesn't make you better or worse before God whether you leave the socks lying around or not. Doesn't make a difference. What really matters, verse 20, is what comes out of you. That's what you really need to take seriously, whether you're an easygoing person or a very conscientious person. What matters, it's what comes out of you. As it happens, a few days ago before I was preparing this, I was in reading this chapter, and I spent time before God just praying about each one of these things in this list and confessing my part in each of them. You could do that because this is a serious list. For from within out of men's hearts and women's hearts and young people's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Jesus says, all these evils come from inside. They're what make a man or a woman or a young person unclean. And no amount of ritual washing is going to get rid of that uncleanness. No amount of thinking, well, you know, hey, I'm a pretty easygoing person, it doesn't matter that much, or hey, I'm a really conscientious person, and that makes up for my faults in my heart. No. This list can only be dealt with. This list can only be sorted out by finding forgiveness from God through Jesus Christ. Because don't say to yourself, I'm conscientious, therefore I'm okay. Or on the other hand, I'm easygoing and I'm not like those ultra-conscientious people who make such a fuss about everything. None of that's going to help before God. What is important before God is that you find the way to deal with what comes out of your heart. And you may find that what comes out your heart is like the socks in the church this morning, and it's lying around for everyone to see. Or you may find that what comes out your heart is neatly stacked away in your sock drawer. No one can see it, but it's there still, if you'd care to examine it. And what Jesus is saying to us is this is what we need to take seriously. Whatever kind of personality we have, we need to be so profoundly thankful that there is one man who was conscientious and successfully kept not man's traditions, not human rules, not his own self-imposed rules, but who successfully kept the commands of God. One man to whom the Father could say, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. We rejoice this morning in the conscientiousness of Jesus. We rejoice this morning that he got it right. Minute by minute and hour by hour in his life, in his thoughts, in his heart, in his actions and his words, he got it right. Carefully, diligently, systematically, moment by moment, Jesus kept the commands of God. There's one man to whom we can look and say, well, he succeeded where we fail. One man who offered his own life to pay for our failure, Jesus Christ. One man whose sacrifice on the cross of himself can pay for your failings, for the things that come out of your heart which are unclean in the sight of the living God. And it's to that one man, Jesus Christ, that you and I must go and seek forgiveness from, and peace with God through. And it's with that one man, Jesus, that we must walk, and to whom we must listen, whatever kind of personality we've got, so that in our lives we will please God day by day. God help you and me to do this now. Amen.